High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright.
Man.
My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just came through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say that even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good.
Ain't that right?
The cares of life have led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear Him gently whispering, I'm here and all is well. Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. He carries His children through like He said He would. Even in the valley, God is good.
Good. Even if you're in the valley, God is good. Don't just think God's good when everything's going good. God's good when everything's going bad. And this world's getting us ready for the next world when everything's going to be good all the time. Well, I don't want you to forget to pray for Miss Janie, who fell and broke her hip last night. Miss Janie, Brother Ray's wife, Brother Ray's in heaven. And Miss Janie, they're having to do surgery on her, broke her hip. So y'all pray for that whole family this morning. And also, lady, we've been getting all kinds of letters and emails from different states. A girl from prison wrote us and really wants us to pray. Somebody else over in New Zealand has been watching us on whatever the thing is. And they've been on the internet. And different states call this their church. And anyway, I heard about one church, you could join them over the telephone and send your picture in and get baptized. Isn't that something? Ain't that something? That's the day we're living in. Send a picture in. Here's old so-and-so and his wife, you know. They're going to stick them on the wall and take your ties out of you and draft them out of your credit card. That's pitiful, isn't it? But it's a blessing to see you here this morning. I feel better this morning. All three of my girls are back safe and sound. They just got home from Florida just a few minutes ago, and I appreciate y'all. Todd, I reckon they drove. I got a text from Carrie at 2:30 this morning, said they're somewhere in South Carolina, and they come straight to church. You kids better sit up there and listen. Amen. But I appreciate them making that. That's what you're supposed to do. If you can, you can't. Should. And if you can't, you can't. And y'all remember Todd's dad, Leonard. We've mentioned him before. He's having a pretty rough time right now. So everybody, please pray for him. And there's a lot of people who have a pretty rough Thanksgiving that we need to pray for. I'm glad that we can pray. And I'm glad that we can visit. Yesterday we went out visit on bus route. And I was so thankful. Brother Wayne went with me. And Kelly and her mom was in here doing all this decorating all day yesterday. And Brother Wayne went with me on bus route. And I said, we ought to thank God that we're the ones getting to visit instead of the ones having to be visited. And the shoe's going to be on the other foot one of these days. We talked to a young man yesterday that I thought he was going to get saved. He's that close to getting saved. And he didn't, but I thought he would. I asked him three times, well, you want to go ahead and get saved? You want to go ahead and get saved? He's probably, I don't know, maybe about 40, and had a real tough time. His dad had died. His sister had died. And had a 4-year-old chased a dog, fell in the creek and drowned. And he had a rough life, divorced and in bad shape, just over here in the town. And y'all pray for that man. He's heavy on my heart. I want us to look at Luke chapter number 6 this morning. And I want to read a verse of Scripture and bring just a little message this morning. And you be sure and be back tonight. And we'll get down to preaching hard tonight, Lord willing. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. I want to read here this morning. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 30. Here's some good advice. Millennial doctrine. Practical living for Christians. As close as you can live to this, the better off you are. Look at verse 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You know, our whole nation's been tore up this week over the situation out in Missouri, and it's been on TV all week and everything. And if every one of us, everybody in the world, would do what that verse would says, we wouldn't have trouble like we've had this week. You treat other people like you want to be treated. If everybody would treat another person like they want them to treat them, Lord, that would solve all the problems in the world. Verse number 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have you? I mean, if you just do nice stuff for your big shot friends, you ain't getting nowhere. Do something for somebody that can't do nothing back for you, like bus kids. Do something for somebody that's not in your little circle of family, friends. Different culture, different race, different attitude, different belief, different religion. If you just do good to the people that's right around you, that ain't nothing. Sinners do that. But verse 35 said, but love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to evil people. If I ain't been good to them, they ain't worth. God is kind to evil people. Amen? That's right. I want to preach this morning on the subject, what's on your shopping list? Everywhere I go, people's already starting to say that it ain't December, tomorrow, and somebody said, got your shopping done? Are you kidding? I mean, we got another month. I'll get it done that last week. Don't you worry about it. And people say, have you got your shopping done? And this time of year, a lot of people, most people, have some kind of list. And you list everybody on your family, friends, relatives, in-laws, enemies, outlaws, people that you got to buy a Christmas present for. You say, well, I can't stand your brother, but we got to get him something because he's in the family. And your mother, and we spent more on your mother last year than we did, and we ain't going to do that this year. I'm cutting down this year. You know, I see, but looking at y'all, some of you have done have that conversation. And, but you say, I'm going to tell everybody in the family, don't nobody buy nothing this year because you ain't going to get them nothing. And you don't want to feel guilty when they give you something. And you know how we do. And everybody's got a shopping list. Now, I want to help you this morning, save you some money, and help you to have a better Christmas if you'll do what I'd like to suggest to you this morning. There should be one, two, three, four things on your shopping list beginning today. And after this, you'll have a great Christmas. If you'll do what this message will instruct you to do today, you will have a wonderful Christmas. Number one, who should be first on your shopping list? According to the Bible, on a Christian shopping list, number one should be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you ladies have already said, I better be first on your list. You better, last year you cut me short, you sorry thing, and you leave them sale papers laying around where they got diamonds and stuff. You leave them laying on the table, leave them laying right on top of his razor and toothbrush, and leave them where he'll see them, and you think, you better do something to me this year, buddy. And I ought to be first. Now, the truth is this morning, according to the Bible, Jesus ought to be first on, after all. Isn't it his birthday supposedly, that we're supposed to be separating? Amen. It sure is. It's supposed to be the Lord's birthday, y'all, so it ought to be Jesus. I mean, good night. We celebrate His birthday and everybody gets a gift except Him. You say, well, what can I give Him? Well, I'm gonna help you with that just a little bit this morning. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 that in all things He should have preeminence. That verse right there. That verse right there on this pulpit. He might have preeminence. You know what preeminence means? It means the first place. He should be number one, first place. Not second, not third, not fourth, and not at all, like a lot of people have. Jesus should be first place. Our Christmas shopping list should begin the Lord. What are you going to do for the Lord? You say, now, Brother Danny, come on now. You can't give Him nothing. Somebody said this. I had the nicest Christmas list, the longest one in town, till Daddy looked at it and said, you'll have to cut it down. I knew that what he said was true beyond the faintest doubt, but was amazed to hear him say, you've left your best friend out. And so I scanned my list again and said, oh, that's not true. But Daddy said, his name's not there. That friend that died for you. And then I clearly understood it was Jesus that he meant. For him who should come first of all, I hadn't planned a sin. So I made my Christmas list and left the Savior out. But oh, it didn't take me long to change that list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I like a lot, my Lord must have the most because His name is at the top. I'm going to tell you, I'm standing on scriptural ground this morning when I tell you that in all things, He might have the preeminence. I challenge everybody in our church this morning, put Jesus Christ at the top of your list. You say, well, what can I give? Well, there's all kinds of things you can give the Lord. You know, when you do something for the church, you're doing something for the Lord. When you do something for other people, you're doing something for Him. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're His mouth on this earth. Me and Brother Wayne witnessing to that boy over there yesterday. That's doing something for him down this hair, Sean. And you know what? The Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ and we work in His stead. I believe with all my heart, bus workers on Saturday morning, knocking on doors, aren't doing His work. I believe the Lord smiles when He looks down. He sees buses running all over the country, picking up little boys and girls. We don't have the totals from this morning yet, but I know Miss Vicky had 39 on her bus, and some of the other, I've seen a bunch of kids come in. Boy, we've seen some of them little ones we visited yesterday. You know what? This morning, Jesus said, suffer those little children to come unto me and forbid them not. I mean, do something for a bus kid. I got a dollar in my pocket this morning, and you know what? I do a lot of times at Christmas. I just have a dollar in my pocket, and I'll just find a bus kid. You're not a bus kid. You shouldn't be out there. And you're not a bus kid, aren't you? Are you a dollar? Merry Christmas, our brother. Amen. And you know what? They won't forget that. He won't forget that. Now you got to give me $2 for my Christmas present. I get interest on them things. But I'm just kidding. But you know what? Just do a little something like that. Now, everybody can do that. Or you might say, we always do something for them. We always buy them a present. We always do something. I appreciate Kelly this morning. She went out yesterday and bought, I guess I bought, donuts and Pepsi's and brought them to the teenage class this morning and said, here, y'all have a Christmas party. You just do a little something like that. I mean, it don't take a lot. When you do something for somebody, you're giving something to Him. When I do something for somebody, listen, when you just put your arm around somebody and say, look, I've been praying for you, when you call the lady that broke her hip or go by and sit in the hospital, I'm telling you, you're giving something to Him. The most miserable people in the world at Christmas are the ones that sit around and say, I won't, I won't, I won't, I won't, gimme, 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 gimme. The Lord said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I like to receive, so it really is a blessing to give. Amen. I'm glad to say this morning, give something to the Lord. I remember when the girls was little, when Carrie was little, they just take them little kids Christmas play park, and they'd used to get up and they'd say, what can I give Him, small as I am? If I was a shepherd, I'd give Him a lamb. If I was something or another, I'd do my part. But what can I give Him? I'll give Him my heart. You know what the Lord wants this morning? He wants your heart. Have you given your heart? You know what Jesus wants for Christmas? He wants your heart. Have you given Him your heart this morning? Have you given the Lord what He wants today? I'm telling you, everybody in here, you know what I'd suggest? Take one Saturday. I know you got Christmas parties every Saturday night. Take one. You make time for them, don't you? Make time one Saturday. Come out here and just go and go visit on the bus route and say, Lord, this is what I'm doing for you. Or give some money or do something. Put Him number one on your shopping list. Pray a while. Read the Bible a while. Spend time with the Lord. Put Jesus first on your shopping list. Amen? That's right. I heard about this little girl one time. They gave her 10 pennies. Then they gave her 10 pennies. And they taught her when she was little. They said, now, when you get 10 pennies, one of them goes to the Lord. And she said, all right, one of them is God's and 9 of them is mine. So when it comes church time, she gave 2 pennies. And they said, now, honey, only one of them belongs to the Lord. She said, well, that one already belongs to Him. I want to give Him one. And she gave Him one of her pennies. How much different is that like the way the other fellow was, like most Baptists are? Honey, he's walking down the road and he had 2 nickels and he's going like this, you know. He said, one of these nickels is the Lord's and one of them's mine. I'm giving one of these nickels to the Lord and one of them's mine. And boys are walking down the road playing them things, and all of a sudden he dropped one, and one of them nickels went down and drawn down in the drain. And he said, there went the Lord's nickel. That way, ain't that the way most people are? That was the Lord's that fell in the drain, I guarantee it. I'm telling you this morning, let's make up our mind. Hey, listen, there's a lot of people here today. Let's make up our mind. Let's do something for Him this Christmas. One year, we had a bunch of boxes of candy. Somebody went to the dollar store or a flea market or somewhere. We bought tons of candy. You could buy a box of candy. It was like $2 each. And we bought stacks of them. You know, them has samples in all different kinds of candy. And we wrapped them things up, and one of the buses had a bunch of extra, and they said, you want some of these, Brother Danny? I said, sure. And I took about 8 or 10 of them things, and I said, I'm going to play Santa Claus. And I went down my road that I live, down Hoppy Tom, and just started knocking on every door. When they'd come to the door, I'd say, hey, Merry Christmas. Now, that candy might have been outdated about 8 months, but that ain't going to kill you. I mean, it might not taste as good, but it ain't going to kill you. I bought some yesterday. I knocked on the door, and one guy was new in town, and I didn't even know him. And I said, hey, I'm your neighbor. And one of them said, oh, you're the guy that runs up down the road every day, ain't you? I said, that's me. And I said, listen, here's something, I'm doing this for Jesus Christ. I want y'all to go to church, serve the Lord, get you some cheap candy. I get some candy and go down your street and just start knocking on doors. One year over there, where was that, Carrie? We went out. It was over at the golf course place. All of our family meets on Christmas Eve. And my brother-in-law plays this violin. He's in his violin. He tried to play it. And I've got my guitar. And they said, we said, we're going Christmas caroling. And after we eat dinner, we said, we're all going Christmas caroling. And we went over at the golf course. And there's some pretty fancy houses over there and some well-to-do people. And we went walking down that street singing, oh, come all ye faithful and Silent Night and Jingle Bells, Brother Frosty Snowman and everything else. And just started witnessing to people. You know what? You know what? I felt like we're doing something for the Lord. Give it to Him. What shall I give Him? Small as I am, if I was a shepherd, I'd give Him a lamb. If I was a wise man, I'd do my part. What'll I give Him? I'll give Him my heart. Have you gave the Lord your heart? Does He have your heart? Hey, people, He gave it all for us. We ought to give something to Him this year. Amen. Number 2, I got to hurry. Listen, maybe you ought to pay up some old debt. That'd be a good Christmas present. If you owe somebody some money, pay them. At least pay them all you can. Don't turn your head every time you see them coming. Just walk up and say, hey, look, here's a little bit. I ain't got it all yet, but I'll pay you every dime I owe you if you'll give me time. Pay up some old debt. Make some kind of an apology. Maybe you need to apologize to somebody. I'm sure there's somebody in here. Maybe you need to go make something right with somebody. They know you're a Christian. And they know you acted out. and you said something you wasn't supposed to at work. Maybe you need to go back. And say, I ain't doing it. I ain't going to lie. Well, maybe God might bless you real good if you would humble yourself and apologize to that person you said something mean to. We was playing ball up there one night, and I was running my mouth, and sometimes I do that. I'm like a commentator at play. You've heard of player coach? I'm commentator player. And I say, and Castle comes down the court, and I was aggravating these guys, and I said, oh, and they're two behind, you know, and I'd tell these guys getting mad, but I didn't know he was getting really mad. And I was just messing with him. And I said, oh, scores another one, Castle, hold up, and buddy, he got mad. Really mad. And I was just cutting up. I mean, look, if you can't play without getting mad, I mean, if you can't play with the big dogs, get off the porch, amen. Go home or whatever they say. But I said, and this guy got mad at me. And the next time we had church, he came to the altar and got down and he was crying. He said, Brother Danny, I want you to forgive me for getting mad at you. I said, I didn't think nothing about it. I just run my mouth. I'm sorry. And he was actually mad. You'd be surprised how many times people get mad over stupid stuff. Well, Lord, I bet you that football game last night, that Auburn, Alabama, I don't even like football. Lord, I bet you there's probably people got beat up and cars got burnt and everything else over that last night. I mean, it was like Duke and Carolina. But I want to tell you, you got mad at work or you got mad at home or you're mad at somebody, maybe you ought to apologize. That'd be a good Christmas gift, wouldn't it? Put that on your list. Make it right with mother-in-law. Good night, it's quieter than Turkey Farm Yard was Thursday evening. Make it right with cousin. Make it right with family member. Make it right. You say, I'll die before I apologize. That very well may happen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't want to die not being right with somebody. And I have done my share of apologizing, trust me. I've wrote letters, made phone calls, and about every three months, I'll get a phone call, maybe sometime more than that. And somebody will say, Danny, you remember me? I'm so-and-so, I live in Ohio. And I'll say, I've said some bad things about you, preacher. And I've said some bad, and I want you to forgive me. And I say, don't worry about it, let it go. Can you forgive me? Yeah, I forgive you. If the Lord can forgive me, I can forgive you. Amen? That's right. If the Lord can forgive me, I can forgive you. If the Lord can forgive you, you can forgive that person that done you wrong. Make it right. Let me say this. Number three, here's a great shopping gift this year. Put it on your list. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better wife. Look how quiet it is. Give your wife a better husband. So I went out and spent $300 on her. Tell her, shut up. That ain't the way Christmas is supposed to be. It ain't just get off my back present. It ain't just here, shut up. That ain't the Christmas spirit. Maybe you need to say, honey, hey, maybe some of you husbands, I'm being fair. Maybe some of those husbands here this morning need to get in this altar and say, God, help me to quit taking my wife for granted. Help me to appreciate her. Help me to appreciate the stuff she does around the house, taking care of all these little brats, washing the clothes. I mean, doing the dishes, cooking the meal. Maybe you ought to say, hey, I'm going to be a better husband for Christmas. How's that? Won't cost you a dime to be nice. Good night. Tonight we'll begin a series of messages on how to be nice. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Make up your mind you're going to love her. The Bible commands husbands to love your wife. It is not a suggestion. It is a command. You're to love her. How am I supposed to love her, preacher? As Christ loved the church. And gave himself for her. Every husband in here ought to say, guess what, honey? I'm going to be a better husband. How's that? And write her a Christmas card and say, I'm going to quit being a sorry, low-down, good-for-nothing husband. Hey, All you husbands, look up here this morning. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to quit writing a Christmas card. I'm going to quit being a sorry husband. I'm going to quit being a jerk. I'm going to quit being a smart aleck. I'm going to quit being one of these that cuts you down all the time. I'm going to be a good husband. You say, Lord, preacher, you're beating us to death. Hang on, boys. Her day's coming here in just a minute. Amen. That's right. Give your husband, give your wife a better husband. Or say, give your husband a better husband. The day we're living in. You never know these days. If that's the situation, one of you commit suicide. I'm just kidding. Get away from each other really, really quick. Really, really quick. Like that one fellow, you say, well, she don't... One fellow said, my wife is just as pretty as she was 20 years ago. He said, now it takes her a lot longer to get like that. You ain't busted Arnold Schwarzenegger 20 years ago neither. Amen? Give her a good husband for Christmas this year. Look, I know you cooked up in the house all the time. You fuss about the meals. You fuss about the kids. You fuss about church. You fuss about work. You fuss about everything. Get down on your knees and say, God, fill me with goodness. I want to treat her like you treated church. That don't mean you just lay down and let somebody run over you. But that means you be good to your wife. How about that, husbands? Amen. That's right. You do realize that our kids, when they get to 65 years old, have spent 10 years in front of a TV and 4 months in Sunday school? Do you realize that 100 kids a day in this country are dying of an overdose of pills? That are dying of an overdose of drugs? We can't afford to be fighting and screaming and hollering at the house. We better have God in our home. We better get Jesus in our house this year. You better look at that Christmas tree, like that pretty one we got back there, and all them presents and stuff under there. You better say, He's honored first. I'm going to give you a better husband. Our kids are growing up in a world that don't care about them. Wives, maybe you need to say, honey, I'm going to give you a nicer wife. From now on, you can trust me. That'd be a good start, wouldn't it? Amen. Here's my phone. You can look at it anytime you want to. Amen. What about that other one you bought? He don't know about. Get him that one too. Lord have mercy, y'all. Are you thinking? Are you under conviction? Or did you eat so much turkey you're hung over? What's wrong with you? Listen. Wives, get up and say, honey, listen, I'm not perfect, but I love you, and you can trust me, and today, I'm going to give you a better wife. This is my gift. It won't cost you a dime to be nice. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be so hateful and grouchy. Some of you ladies, your middle name ought to be Grouch. I mean, that's all you know how to do. You ought to be so-and-so, Grouch, wife's name. Maybe mad, hateful, Grouch ought to be your first name. I don't know. I mean, you're just grouch. There's no reason to get up. And you say, well, I'm just saying, you let that phone ring and one of your friends call and watch how nice you get all of a sudden. I know a lady, her husband's trying to be nice and she said, quit! I feel bad! And the phone rang and she said, oh, hey, how are you? Yeah, you know, we have a word for that. It's called hypocrite. Amen? Now, if you can be nice to that lady that don't even care about you no way, you can be nice to that fellow that's paying your bills. Lord have mercy. You are absolutely worrying me sick. Jeremy, rolling the floor. Speaking tongues. Do something. Listen, brother, I'm telling you, this thing won't cost you a dime. Make up your mind. You know why some of you people don't like this? Because you're living like a devil and treating your mate terrible, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Amen. Give him a better wife. Give him a better wife. Submit to him. You're joined by God. Don't have to have your way all the time. Bend a little bit. Number four, be a witness to a lost soul. It's estimated that 95% of all church members have never led one person to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your neighbor a better witness. This is the best and easiest time of the year to witness. People let you witness to them now that you can't witness to no other time of year. I don't know why, but people are more open. You can talk to more people about God in the month of December than any other month of the year. It's easy. You can get people to come and see Christmas plays that you couldn't drag in a church. And we'll have the plan of salvation presented at our Christmas play. Ladies and gentlemen, you got somebody in your family that's not saved. You know somebody that's not ready to meet God. Listen, give it to the Lord. The Lord's up there. He died for their sins. He's waiting on us to go tell that person about the greatest story ever told. Listen, they said years ago, this little old lady, she braved the cold on the streets of Chicago, freezing weather. If they can sit out there at a football game, we can go out and knock on some doors, get out some tracts at Walmart, be a witness. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Give it to the Lord. What can I give Him? Small as I am. I'm just a high school girl. I'm just a teenage boy. What can I do for Him? Get you some tracts, take them to school, and say, Lord, I'm doing this for You for Christmas this year. Amen. One day there's a girl, a woman, saw these little kids out. And the little kid was like some we saw yesterday. Dirt all over their face. Man, we had dogs jump on us yesterday. I don't know if Molly ain't in here, is she? She's probably in junior church. Little bitty girl, y'all see her. She's back there about that tall. And I mean, she'd chase that big old dog, little pit bull named Jack. Around that house, around that house, around that house. You ought to have seen them yesterday. Mud all over them. They ain't have nothing, but they're happier than most of the people that live in Big Shot Town in Charlotte. And them little old kids out there, some of them have mud on their face. I went in one yesterday. Honest, you couldn't walk through the house. And that's all. You could not walk through the house because of trash and junk. And a woman looked and she saw this little girl had dirt on her face. And she said, it looked like that mother had cleaned that kid up. And somebody talked to her and said, you know how come, you know what your problem is? They said, you hate that dirt, but you don't love that kid. Now the mama loves the kid, but she don't hate that dirt. And that kid's going to stay dirty till somebody hates the dirt and loves the kid. Y'all listening? You know what a lot of people's problem is? They love a person and don't hate their sin. And then a lot of Christians, they hate that sin but don't love that person. And they're going to stay in sin until somebody hates the sin and loves the sinner. A kid will stay dirty until somebody loves the kid and hates the dirt. What are you going to do for Christmas this year? Maybe you're here this morning and you've never even been saved. I asked that boy yesterday, I said, have you ever been saved? He said, nope. Daddy died of a heart attack. Sister died. 4-year-old drowned in the river. I said, you ever been saved? He said, nope. I said, man, you can get saved right here. Take man. And he brought up some preacher who was a hypocrite and you know, made up excuses like that. And I said, well, it don't matter what them preacher does. You're going to stand for God for yourself. I don't care. Don't matter what that preacher did. Or deacon or anybody else. And he wouldn't get saved. Let me ask you something this morning. If I stood up here right now and said, What's wrong with you? How come you won't get right with God? What would your answer be? Well, my job, my preacher, things ain't like they ought to be. Wait a minute. You didn't listen. I asked why you won't get right with God. It don't make no difference what somebody else did or didn't do. You can use that for excuse all day long. But when it comes right down to it, you're going to stand right in front of God one day, buddy. Ma'am, and you're going to give an account. Are you right with God this morning? You know what would be the best Christmas present you could possibly give the Lord this morning? Is give Him your heart if you're not saved. I want you to stand and bow your head for prayer, please. Everyone stand.